Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland. Well, thank you for coming to my channel for the first time, or maybe even many times. Yesterday was the bicentenary of the Decembrist revolt, Восстание Декабристов. So that was when, on 26th December 1825, some Russian army officers, mostly aristocrats, attempted to overthrow the government. Okay, wanting to bring back the Grand Duke Konstantin Pavlovich as the Tsar to oust Tsar Alexander. Of course, they went by the Julian calendar those days. So in our modern calendar, it would be 14th of December. Okay, but we'll just put it to the 26th of December, and that took place in St. Petersburg, then the capital of the Russian Empire. And obviously, it's not being marked by Russia today. Because the Bolsheviks like to see these people as proto-Bolsheviks when the communists were in power, when there was a Soviet Union. But obviously, Putin does not like the idea that people would remember when army officers tried to overthrow an absolute ruler, especially when they were inspired by Western ideas of democracy, of rights, and so forth, of freedom of expression, and were tired of endless foreign wars and so on. What happened that day, the ordinary soldiers really had no idea what was going on. But there'd been the Napoleonic Wars, and some Russian army officers have been exposed to Western political ideas. In the wake of the French Revolution, the final defeat of France in 1815, some Russian troops got as far west as France, and that's why in French restaurants asking for foods, bistro, bistro, as in quickly, and that's why there's a bistro in French where they serve you a bit faster. You may know in French restaurants, the service is notoriously languid. They really like their long lunches. But remember, literacy was very low in Russia at the time, was maybe 20%, and the foreign language they learned was French. Obviously, a tiny minority of French of Russians were conversant in French, but that was the language of the upper class, which is under 1% of the population. And if you read any Tolstoy novels, the Russian characters will be slipping into French and back into Russian in mid-sentence and stuff like that. So often they're very culturally Francophile. Political parties were banned. There was no parliamentary government whatsoever. They hardly had fair trials or even trials at all. No trade unions allowed, no freedom of assembly, and so on. So it really was an absolute monarchy. In some ways, Russia was still like in the Middle Ages. And there were serfs who were, most Russians were in a state of semi-slavery and stuff like that. But some of the Decembrists, they had been reading various foreign constitutions, the American Declaration of Independence, and so forth, said, well, we could have a constitutional monarchy. Perhaps we could get rid of serfdom. It had been done so in Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia. Russia had recently annexed Finland, which previously belonged to Sweden, which had some sort of parliamentary government. And the Russians taught to believe that they've got the best possible system. The Tsar was appointed by God, and they look back to the Byzantine Empire and a Byzantium. They really believed in that mandate of heaven and so on, saying that Moscow was the third Rome, and there would be no fourth. Rome was the first Rome. Constantinople or Byzantium was the second Rome. We now call it Istanbul. Then the third Rome is Moscow, even though Moscow was kind of a deeply unimpressive city at the time, the center of Orthodox Christianity. The Tsar had the Orthodox Church on his side. Caesar and church, well, Caesar was very much hand in glove with the church. Render to Caesar what is Caesar's, to God what is God's. But the church was really an adjunct of the state, and was completely blindly supportive of that. Told people to offer up their suffering simply to obey those who was God's elect, the Tsar. And this world was of trifling importance. It would pass. Think of the next life and so forth. Don't concern yourself with political nostra. Even if these political notions are a good thing in the Occident, they're completely inapplicable to Russia, which has got the best possible system of absolute monarchy. They'd annexed Eastern Poland decades before, and of course Poland had some sort of parliamentary government. A third of men could vote because a third of men count as aristocrats. So a secret society was called the Union of Salvation, and this was a discussion group for reform-minded officers. So it was part of this awakening of liberal notions amongst army officers, amongst the bourgeoisie across Europe. And it was really just army officers in St. Petersburg, Moscow, Warsaw, and so on, thinking maybe they should do away with serfdom, perceiving just how unjust that was, and so on. Okay, so the Tsar was trying to stop all this. There are two societies: Northern Society, Southern Society of army officers, and sometimes they were corresponding about this, thinking, well, let's have something, some freedom. Anyway, early that month, Alexander the First had died. And Constantine, his eldest son, was to be the next Tsar, but Constantine renounced his throne, okay, and sort of went into exile. Therefore, it's to be the next brother down. Alexander the second was take over. So that's why they gathered on Senate Square, over 3,000 rebel troops. Having said that, the troops were simply order obeying orders. Sorry, I mean Nicholas the First comes in. It's 3,000 troops. They just do what they're told by their officers. Most soldiers were illiterate. They didn't understand politics at all. They'd never heard of a parliament or elections or anything like that. It was difficult to conceive of any government that wasn't ruled by royal fiat and so forth. So they're all supposed to swear allegiance to Nicholas the First. Some of them thought that Constantine was reform-minded. Why had he renounced the right of succession? Maybe he was pushed out by reactionary elements. So troops there staging on, 3,000 of them refusing to swear allegiance to Nicholas the First, but there were 9,000 loyalist troops there. Okay, so eventually the loyalists began bombarding those who were saying, no, we're holding out for Constantine and a constitution. Many people had never even heard the word constitution, assume, what is that, his wife or something? So some of the Decembrists shot dead, like Piotr Chachovsky, and so forth, while he was delivering his oration. Okay, anyway, so there's a little bit of fighting. A few people were killed. Some attempts to negotiate with the so-called insurgents. Then there was a cavalry charge, which didn't really work. Okay, Tsar Nicholas the First having some grape shot fired and things like that. Some troops fleeing over the frozen river Neva. And likewise, there's a bit of a standoff in Ukraine, then very much part of the Russian Empire. So in the days after that, the police, they rounded up, they arrested some of those they felt thought were guilty of high treason. Okay, and they were all put on trial. People from the United Slavs, the Northern Society, the Southern Society. So is all it's about 150 people. And so anyway, a number of death sentences by being hanged, drawn, and quartered, by being decapitated, some cashiered, as in they're kicked out of the army in dishonor. They mostly charged the officers, not the ordinary privates who were simply following orders, who had no idea what this is about. Some to penal servitude in Siberia, and so forth. Okay. And some being demoted to being a private soldier and stuff like that. Okay. And some of them were just simply detained without trial for years, or demoted, sent to fight in the Caucasus against the Ingushetians, Dagestanis, which was thought to be almost a death sentence, and stuff like that. Some of the ordinary soldiers who had to run the gauntlet, as in run past the elders being hit with sticks and things like that, flogged. So yeah, that was it. It even spread to Siberia, but news was so slow, it didn't happen in Siberia for half a year. Okay, some people sent into exile. Why was banishment such a severe punishment back then? Well, that's because, remember, no phones. You can only send letters every so often, take months to reach you. How would you like to go thousands of miles away from family and friends to a very remote, boring, cold place? That was a harsh punishment in a way it wouldn't be these days. Just not being with the people you love and not being able to communicate with them. Okay, so some of these people went into exiles, but still living in considerable comfort in Siberia. So yeah, that was it. They were some amnesty 30 years later when Alexander the Second, a reform-minded Tsar, came to office. Some had had their noble titles taken away, and there was a restoration of these. So was this the sort of presentiment of revolution? But they were really wanting like a constitutional monarchy. They weren't, or the abolition of the monarchy was scarcely conceivable, and they saw, well, that ended so badly for France, we mustn't get rid of the monarchy. And also arguing, well, we're for the legitimate Tsar Constantine, not for his younger brother Nicholas the First. Goodness. So then, in the Bolshevik era, they were adulated. Now, why would they so valorize? Because they say that they prefigured the Bolshevik Revolution. of 92 years later. And then I remember listening to the Zolder's chorus of the Decembrists, this magnificent opera, and then talking about that from this tiny spark will alight the mighty conflagration, as in the revolution, that they failed, one day their successors would win. And indeed they did, also in St. Petersburg, or Leningrad, as it was to become. But the thing is, when I listened to that, it seemed very 19th century, that sort of music. And I thought, well, surely this would never be allowed at the Tsars. I was astonished to discover the Decembrists opera was in the 1950s, the Stalinist era. But because of the cultural retreat, art forms in the Soviet era were often of several generations earlier. They thought any 20th century Western music was somehow like liberal or capitalist or whatever. They couldn't possibly tolerate that. So it was a fascinating moment. It only lasted a few hours, the Decembrist revolt, and got nowhere near success. Partly the public just had no idea what was going on. People were kept so ignorant because of such an obscurantist state, such severe censorship, such control freakery, that we can't possibly let people look at these harmful ideas by Putinists today. Undesirable organizations. Well, he doesn't desire them. Does the public desire them? But they're not allowed the chance to decide they desire this or not. So it shows you the dangers of autocracy. Well, thank you for listening to my chinwag. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate PayPal, George Callahan 790 gmail.com. Goodbye.